life. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to him this morning. Holy Spirit, would you fill him? And would you use his words to touch our hearts and lives? Give us vision as we move forward as a church, and touch our lives individually as followers of yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Go Yankees. Sorry.
Seriously? Am I on? Maybe sort of, kind of. My back battery die? No, I'm on. I think. Well, anyway, hey, how y'all doing this morning? Till we get that fixed. I'll try not to scream when he hits the button. There we go. Hi, good morning. How are y'all? Great. You realize, Joe, the Yankees are like the evil empire, right? And so, I mean, like, last night was like Empire Strikes Back. It's Return of the Jedi on Monday, or whatever that works out. So anyway, so we'll figure that out. Good morning. I'm Tyler. If I haven't had the pleasure to get to know you or meet you, glad that you're here with us this morning. And I'm continuing our series, Anchor Points. This will be the second week, and really glad that you guys are here. Before I do that, as Joe was saying, us as a church staff and elders, been working pretty diligently behind the scenes to kind of freshen up our language. We want to make sure that we clearly communicate what it is that why we're here and what we're asking of you guys to participate with us, right? And so I hope my prayer is that we'll be abundantly clear this morning. in addition to that, we've also reworked and refreshed and a new website. So I've got some slides. I want to point that out to you. So if you'll go to the next slide, and if you have a smartphone on your hand, if you want to follow along, that's fine. crossroadsofarlington.org. But there's our new landing page there, and it looks dramatically different than what we said. And you'll notice it says Crossroads Arlington, right? It used to say Crossroads of Arlington. Who's seen The Social Network? Remember that movie with Justin Timberlake? And remember there was that restaurant scene, and they're like, talk about the Facebook, and JT in his JT way says, drop the. It's a little bit clearer instead of just Facebook. Instead of the Facebook. So we've dropped the of. We're trying to be like Justin Timberlake this morning. No, I'm just kidding. But no, so it's Crossroads Arlington instead of Arlington. We just want to be really clear with who we are and where we are. We feel like the of isn't really necessary. And then you notice underneath that, you can't really read it. Maybe you can. It says, here's our mission statement, which I'm going to be teaching on this morning. And so it's front and center. So as soon as you get to our website, you'll see that we have a new logo in the left-hand corner. And anywhere you want to navigate is up in the right-hand corner with all the ministries. And so if you want to go to the next slide, giving. Giving was buried somewhere on our website at the bottom. And so we put that up at the top. And so I don't know if you guys are like me, but we do online bill pays. Anybody else do that? Yeah, right? Because my mom still gets mad at me when I don't balance my checkbook register. Do we have a checkbook register? I think we do, maybe. Anyway, I think we carry that around somewhere. I don't even know what that is. Anyway, so we've made it real simple that we can do online giving now through your checking account. And then you could also, on the right-hand side, it says mobile giving, donate via SMS or short messaging service, otherwise known as texting. So you can actually text to give now, which is kind of fun. We've got a number there. I've been trying it out. So if you text give to the 817-767-0056, it'll reply back within a second. They'll say, how much would you like to give? And then you tell it an amount, and then it'll run you through connecting your account with your phone number. So we just want to make sure that that's really simple with you. Next page, underneath ministries, everything that we have as a church ministry-wise, from prayer ministry to adults ministry, Mother's Day Out, youth ministry with Travis and Tasha and our student ministry, kids ministry, missions. It's all right there, and all the information is easily found, and you can find all the information. You can get connected with us with any way that you want on the website. And then the last page is resources, and it has sermons there on the left-hand side, and then the blog, some books that Joe has that we love to put in your hands, and then, of course, the giving tile again. And so we want to make sure that we are easily communicate with you guys. And the other thing is this, right? Like the website is, it's just a card for the community that don't know us, right? And so we just, again, as we were refreshing our language and our values, we wanted to make sure that we were clearly communicating who we are and, more importantly, what Jesus wants us to be as a church. Okay, so that's all that is. So Diana and our communications team and the rest of our staff have worked really, really hard on this. So when you see them, when you tell them thank you for me, I'd really appreciate it. All right, so That's it. That's all the shameless plugging I will do, except I'll shameless plug last week if you weren't with us, okay? So here's my recap for last week. So again, the series is called Anchor Points. I talked a little bit about me going and climbing a mountain last year, and specifically two things God taught me while I was climbing that mountain. First and foremost, it was an 8-hour day. It was a really long climb, and we were close to the summit. I was tired, and I could see the summit, but I was really wanting to stop. And God very tangibly said, Tyler, I want you to stop accepting false summits in your life. And what he meant by that was, is you could see the summit, but that's not the summit top experience, right? 80% of the download is not the full download. He wants us to go all the way. And so he said, just don't accept false summits in your life. And so I was like, well, what do you mean, Lord? So like on the drive back when we were tired back from Colorado to Texas, he was like, yeah, you accept false summits all over the place. Like, do you spend enough time with me? Or do you accept 80%? You know, are you being open with your life? Are you only concerned about who you are? Are you thinking about other people in your life? And I'm like, dang, I was just trying to climb a mountain and have fun and get a couple of days away with a friend. I didn't realize you were going to teach, you know, hold the mirror up in front of my face. But that's what he did, right? And I was really thankful and glad that he has. Number two is just to take the next step. We were in the summit series at this point, their system, and we had about 50 feet of this ledge to traverse before we get to the summit, and to our left was a 2,000-foot drop. It was literally the scariest thing I've ever done, like the scariest. And there's no way in that moment I was not going to be afraid, right? And so, again, God very tangibly spoke to me in that moment, and he said, hey, Tyler, like, I'm not asking you to not be afraid. I'm just asking you to take the next step and trust me. And so how often do we let fear and doubt and worry and the troubles of this world get in the way of us just taking a next step, right? And so, like, as a church, like, what God put on my heart for us as a church is, hey, Crossroads, like, let's not accept any more false summits, and let's not let fear stop us from what we're wanting to do and what God's called us to do, okay? Okay, so that hopefully catches you up. We were in 1 John, the first 10 verses, or the entire chapter 1, which is 10 verses. I'll be bouncing around a little bit, so I'll give you a heads up where we're going. But before I get started, I want to tell you a little bit of story. Like Joe said, I'm still kind of new, and so I want you guys to, whether you want to know me or not, like, you're going to hear this story. So anyway, you can decide if you want to hear it or not, but that's okay. Anyway, so junior year of high school. So I'm rewinding a while. I don't know how long. I didn't do the math, but it's been a while. Who remembers high school, by the way? Some of us do, kind of, sort of. All right, so who was in DECA in high school? Did y'all have DECA in Texas? You know, it's like a marketing club or a business club or something. I don't know. So anyway, my high school was really, really, really active in DECA. So much so, they had the state leadership of it. We had like three offices that was manned from our high school. And so we were pretty into it. And it was a really large group. About 65 students were in just this club. And we got to do something fun junior year. We went to the Southern region. I'm from Tennessee, so I'm going to say Southern very pointedly. So we went to the Southern Region Leadership Conference, which happened to be held in New Orleans, Louisiana. I know. Sounds like a lot of fun, right? So if you've ever been to New Orleans, there's New Orleans, and then there's the French Quarter. That's the old part of New Orleans. That's where the Superdome is. And we're aware of it, whether it's sporting events or Hurricane Katrina, right? And right next to it, there's a mall. And right next to the mall is the Hyatt Regency in the French Quarter. And so it's like one of the tallest hotels in downtown New Orleans. It's attached to the mall, which is attached to the Superdome. They even have that little restaurant that spins 360 degrees. So in an hour, while you're eating your meal, you can see the entire downtown landscape of New Orleans, which is kind of fun. I didn't know that. I remember stepping onto the floor, and it was moving, and I was like, oh, wait, something's like, I feel like I'm on an escalator, but I'm not, but I am. And so I thought I was getting sick or something. But anyway, so we get there after the 15-hour bus ride or whatever from Knoxville to New Orleans, and we go eat on the Mississippi River at the riverfront, and there's this girl I kind of like. Now, I've already told Dee I was going to tell this, so she's okay with it. So anyway, I don't remember her name. I don't even really remember what she kind of looks like. I kind of do, but I don't. Like, I can't see a face anymore. It's because I just see your face, honey, okay? Anyway, so we sat side by side, and it started happening. You know, and so like when you know you like someone and they might kind of like you, like there's a connection that starts to form. And here, and like, so like everything, all of a sudden, everything was real shiny and glittery. And like, we're talking, and I'm like, yes, this is going to happen, you know. And so, you know, you could just see it kind of working its way out. So we had a great lunch. We're all walking back about the 10 blocks from the riverfront back to our hotel. And my mission at that moment is I was singularly focused on this person who I can't see or don't really remember her face. But anyway, you get what I'm saying. So we're walking. Walking and talking, and I'm looking at her like this, or like this, if you're on this side of the room, and I don't see the light pole that is fastly approaching. And I'm not saying like just any light pole. I'm talking like the cast iron light pole that's been around since however long that light pole's been there. It's like 150 years old. And so as I'm talking, I literally careen into it, and like I had glasses on, and like it broke my glasses. It was the most, it's probably one of the most embarrassing things I've ever done in my life. I told you last week one of the scariest things, now I'm telling you the most embarrassing thing. And she never, ever, ever talked to me again after that moment. It was like, I'm out, you know, and she was gone. And I'm like, my glasses are broken and my head kind of hurts and I'm really embarrassed. So, but I bring that up to say something. My singular mission at that moment was to be solely focused on her because I was trying to make something happen, right? So it wasn't a proper mission, and it didn't give me proper vision to see the light pole that was fastly approaching. Does that make sense? So, proper mission gives proper vision. Proper mission gives proper vision. So that's what Joe and I want to hold up before you, is we think this is the proper mission for our church, restated from when it was originally written 16 years ago to where we think he's going to take us the next 16 years. Can I share that with you? Are we good? Okay, y'all don't make fun of me because I shared that story and I was open and authentic, okay? All right, you're not allowed to. All right, and by the way, before we get to that slide, you know, Proverbs 29:18 says that without vision, people perish. And when I think about my walk with the Lord and my walk before that I didn't know him, I was perishing. Like I was slow, like you've seen it, like when, and it gets dry here, and like when we were moving and we were driving up 35, there's the cornfields just roasting and wasting away. I was perishing one day at a time without Jesus in my life, right? And so Proverbs, I just love that statement, is that without vision, people perish. In church, like we have the answer. Like we don't have to perish anymore. So I'm really, really, really excited to share with you this morning. So if you want to put the slide up, here's our mission. It's real simple. Our mission at Crossroads is to follow Christ, pursue spiritual growth together in community, and reach Arlington and our neighbors throughout the world. Let me read it one more time. And this is just restated. And as Joe said, by the way, we're taking the great commandment, Jesus' last commandment to his disciples, which is to go into all nations and make disciples, right? We're just taking it and we're making our little, putting our language for our niche, all right? And it is to follow Christ, pursue spiritual growth together in community, and to reach Arlington and our neighbors around the world. Okay? All right, you can clap for that. Go ahead. That's fine. Thanks for throwing me that bone. I appreciate it. Whoever did that, thank you. No, all right, so let's talk about the three things that are really important out of this mission statement. If you want to turn your Bible to John chapter 8, I'm going to be at verse 12. This is right after, by the way, as you're turning there, John chapter 8, verse 12. And this is right after, like, the Pharisees caught the woman in the thing, and, like, they were going to stone her, and, you know, and Jesus started writing in the ground. And then he makes this statement, right? And so he says, and he tells her, like, hey, go and sin no more. So it's right after that moment. And then he says this. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, the crowd, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness and have the light of life. You ever followed someone with a flashlight? Like, it's really easy to see where the light's headed. Like, it's pretty easy to divide dark and light. And so at Crossroads, and as Christians, we're called to follow Jesus first and foremost. And We do that because his light never grows dim. It never fades away. And it is everlasting. And it uncovers all, it dispels all darkness. Like I had a, I have a headlamp and like it has a little battery indicator on the side of it. And like if I run it on the high beam, like it'll show me, like the battery indicator will go from green to yellow to red. Jesus's light never goes from green to yellow to red. It's on all the time, and he never needs a battery replacement. And so as Christians, that's what we want to do. We want to follow him. And I love the word follow. Like literally in the Greek, it means to be a disciple, right? So obviously he's talking to his disciples, so it would make sense that he would say, hey, disciples, as you follow me, disciple. And what that means is like to be attached to the hip to. Right? Like a disciple isn't just someone who thinks the right thoughts or just walks behind. It's to walk side by side with the person you're following and go do the same things. It's like walking lockstep, one step at a time. And so as a church, what we realize is that if we're going to be effective and do what God's called us to do, we have to first be submissive to who he is and what he's done in our lives. And out of the abundance of the cross and his sacrifice for my sins and your sins is that we go follow him out into the world. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. I love that. It's because everything he's given to me, now I want to go follow and go do that for someone else. And I love it, too, that in John, we were, like I said, we were in chapter 1 in 1 John last week. John never said, hey, like, remember when, if you were here in the room, when he was talking about that we have seen, that we have touched, what you've heard, what you've seen with your own eyes. He never said, well, I touched, you know, he's like, well, they touched us, too. Like, it's all about Jesus Christ. And so I remember as I became a new Christian 14, 15 years ago, and at first, I had a really good friend. He was my small group leader, and I didn't even know what a small group was, which is kind of funny, but, you know, now I work in small groups primarily, which is kind of ironic. But anyway, and I was kind of following him because, like, I felt like he had it together, and you know what he kept doing? He kept pointing me. He's like, hey, you could act like I act, but don't follow me. I'll let you down. Like, don't make me your savior. I'm not. You might think I have it all together. I don't. Follow Jesus. And so, church, I want to hold that up, is that as we take steps to walk this out, is that we have to follow Jesus. And he provides the Holy Spirit to help us with that. Like, we don't even have to have it all together. And that's what I love about serving the God that we serve, is that he takes me where I am and uses me in spite of myself. He uses me in spite of my fears. He uses me in spite of my shortcomings, because he doesn't care about those, because he knows he already holds that with the power of death, hell, and the grave in the palm of his hand. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to him. He just wants a willing heart. Okay? Number two, Hebrews, if you want to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 23. So the author of Hebrews has just reminded the readers, it's in 19, he says, remember, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, we have a great high priest. Let us draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith. So you're saying, hey, he's just reminded us that the full assurance of faith isn't in our good works or our good deeds or me getting everything right, because I'm a perfectionist and I want to get everything right and I want to make everybody happy. It's in the full assurance of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And then he says this, I love this, in verse 23. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, excuse me, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let us hope, hold fast to the confession of our hope. Isn't that interesting? Even the confession piece. So this is obviously falling with that. We want to pursue spiritual growth together in community. Even the confession for the Christian, while individualistic because it has to do with my life and what he's paid for, is still communal by nature. Otherwise, he would have said, let you. But he didn't. He said, let us. And have you ever noticed, like, and this is the draw, like I was talking about the American church last week and how we think as Americans, like we tend to think in singular pronouns, and it bleeds and kind of bleeds over to our Christian walk. And how often do I catch myself saying, in my Christian walk, I or me? But yet the author of Hebrews says us, so we should be thinking us and we. And so I put that before you is that you have, if this is your only room for Christian community, like there's not much going on other than you guys looking at me and while I'm talking. That's not a lot of community. It is, but it's not. It's the false summit. If this is it, it's the false summit. It's not the 100%. This is the 80%. Back to last week. And that word, the word consider in verse 24, like to us, I would think, well, I need to think about it. And that doesn't mean that at all. It literally means to fix our eyes. It has nothing to do with thought. So as we're following the light, as I just said a second ago, as we follow the light, as John says in his gospel, and we will walk in the light, we don't need to think about it. We need to fix our eyes on who Jesus is and go walk step by step with him. There's nothing to consider. It's just where my eyes were pointed at her, I didn't see the light pole. If I'd have been pointing forward right down the road, I would have seen the light pole. We need to fix our eyes on who Jesus is. And then also in verse 24, let me read it again real quick. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. That word stir, it's not like a spoon in a mixing bowl. That's not what he means. Like, I read that because I'm hungry and I want to eat, right? Or it's the, you know, I drink half and half tea because I can't drink sweet tea because I'll bounce off the wall. And so I use my straw to stir the tea, right? To shake it up. That's not what he means. Literally, it means to incite like a mob. Isn't that crazy? We should have a mob-like mentality about challenging and encouraging each other to love and good deeds. I don't know. Like and here's the thing. I'm saying this. I don't even know what that really looks like yet. But man, I know it when I see it. Like I've been at Thanksgiving dinners or holiday dinners where, you know, family gets together around the table and you haven't seen them for 3 or 4 years, and eventually Uncle Harry says something to Aunt Lucy and they start arguing, and then it incites kind of an argument and conflict. Like we've all seen that, right? And it becomes divisive and it's like, oh, we're gonna slowly back away. Hey, there's a piano, right? But we're not supposed to be divisive when we incite. Inciting brings us together. And so again, the author is reminding us not to neglect meeting together. This is one meeting place. This isn't the only one. The author is saying, don't neglect it. Incite each other. Be a mob. Okay? Connie's going to get up and she comes up, I want to hand her a mic. She wanted to give a testimony real quick about how her small group helped her through something, and something that was really troubling and really hard for her. So just pay attention real quick.
Good morning. Yeah, I was just going to give a very short story about the power of prayer and people praying for each other. Back in June, it was on a Thursday night, I had gotten home from work when we were eating, and my mom called and said that my dad wasn't feeling well and that she was going to run him up to the emergency room. So I said I would meet her there. So immediately before I got up from the table, I texted the small group girls that we keep a thread going all the time, and we send prayer requests and praises and everything, and it just goes all the time. And so I sent that message to them before I even got up from the table. Got to the hospital, we got into the triage room, and within just a few minutes, my dad coded. He was having a heart attack. And so at that point, I called Jenna, told her to put a prayer request out to the Women of Crossroads Facebook page that is up all the time. and sent a message to Mark. He was at the elder meeting, and I knew he didn't have his phone, so the first one that came to mind was Dave Winchester. I sent him a message to have Mark come on up to the hospital. And so during that time frame, while they were working on my dad, I started getting texts, I started getting messages, offers to come to the hospital. All this time, I knew all these people were praying for us. I knew the elders had prayed. I knew our small group ladies had prayed. I knew the women were praying. It was just so important to me because I got such a peace and comfort because I knew these people were praying for us. And, you know, really without me being a part of these groups, most everybody would have been just acquaintances. I wouldn't have really known them. They wouldn't have known me. And it was just so important because I'd have been a mess if I hadn't had that. But instead, I had quite a peace, and I was comforted by that. You know, and it was so important that I had that. Because, you know, life is joyful a lot of the time, but a lot of times it's really hard and it's messy. And we all need people. If we don't have people out there that are on our side and that are praying for us, you know, what would, you know, where would we be? It's just vitally important. And by the way, my dad went home in 3 days and he turns 88 tomorrow. So prayer works.
Thanks, Connie, for that. Did you notice she said she wouldn't have known those people otherwise, but she had developed such a relationship with them in the context of their life group that they'd spent years investing in each other that she had somewhere to go when she needed people the most. And so I want to put before you, like, if you're in this room and you don't have that, like, we have a place for you. That's why we do life groups. That's why we have men's and women's ministry and Grief Share and the other ministries that are geared for adults. That's why we're having retreats, women's retreat and the men's retreat coming up in the month, is that you guys could pursue spiritual growth together in community. Like, we realize everybody's dance card's really full. You know, we don't just add something to add something so we feel good about ourselves. It's because it's needed and and it's important to her walk. So if you haven't signed up for those things, shameless plug hour, do it. That's why we offer them. Third part of the mission statement, Matthew 22, verse 39. We want you to reach your neighbors in Arlington and around the world. That's what we want to do. And so this is the scene, just to give you the breakdown. I'm going to go through all of it, but it's where Jesus, the Pharisees or the lawyers, had come around him and they're going to trick him, catch him in a word kind of trick. And, you know, they were going to say, hey, Jesus, which one of God's commandments is the greatest? Because they know if they could get him to say one's greater than the other, then they've just said God's not God. And so they're going to trick him because they want to kill him. And they're trying to find any reason they can to trip him up so they have the reason to do that. And Jesus being Jesus, of course, sidesteps that question and then beautifully sums up everything in this book in the next two statements. One is that you should love God with everything you have. I'm paraphrasing. That's what he's saying. Everything you got, love him, because he has loved us with everything he has. And then two, he says this. This is verse 39. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now that's hard, isn't it? To love your neighbor as yourself. Because I like to be loved the way I want to be loved. But Jesus says if you love God with everything you have, you also want to love your neighbor as yourself. And so I think that's the second part. If we're going to follow him, we've got to love God with everything we've got. We've got to love neighbors as we would want them to love us. And I'm not talking just about our physical neighbors. Like, I've got neighbors on the outside, and I want to be a good neighbor, and that's why, I don't know, why I just want to be one. But it's also the person you work next to at work, or the person you're traveling to on the airplane, or the person that's in line for coffee or lunch this week. Like, everybody's our neighbor. It's also, like, if you're new here, we're so glad that you're here. Like, you're our neighbors, and we hope and pray that you feel love by visiting with us today. It's those people who don't know Jesus yet, our Lord and Savior. Those are our neighbors. And we are charged as a church to love them as we would want someone to love us if we were in their place. And we don't do it just to make ourselves feel good about ourselves. It's back to that. We're doing it as a response to what Jesus has done everything for us on the cross. So one thing that we have, we're calling it a Reach Weekend. It's our first ever Reach Weekend. It's the second weekend of November. On November 10th, Children's Ministry is serving with Mission Arlington with families and their kids in the ministry. And I love it that they've put that on the books to get kids to go serve. Like, teaching kids to serve. I get more enjoyment out of watching my kids serve when they do. It's like heaven coming down to earth when you see little kids grasp the simplicity of the gospel in just an act of service when they know that person they're serving, they may not see again, and they're not going to repay it. Like, that's beautiful. And then on November 11th, on Sunday, we as a church, we support several homeless ministries in the area and Fort Worth specifically, and we're going to go serve lunch to people who don't have a meal. Like, just tangible things. And that's not the only thing we're going to do. That's just the things that we've got scheduled coming up. But we're all called to go reach and love our neighbors as ourselves, as a church. The worship team is going to come back.